enemies and the compass. Part 2. Only two directions. The spiritual compass has only two directions, toward goodness, truth, source, God, the one thing, and away from it. For one person, the direction toward this one thing may be eastward from where they are. For another person, it may be southward, or upward, or downward, or anything in between. The direction looks different only because people are in different places with different histories. From wherever one is, only this one direction matters. These two directions define the spiritual compass. Spiritual in this context does not indicate spirits or simply the unseen. What is invisible may have an absolutely good influence or an absolutely bad influence. The spiritual compass points toward and away from goodness. Each of the two directions can have an infinite number of flavors, varieties, shades, and colors, specific paths of action. But there are only two directions, not a continuum of sort of in one direction or the other. It is not possible to simultaneously serve two masters, and it is not possible to simultaneously proceed toward goodness and away from it. Sometimes it seems like a course of action will benefit one person or group and harm another. However, when one looks very deeply at the whole picture at all levels, what is truly best for one person is always what is truly best for everyone else, too. We don't perceive all, but we can do our best. We need to remember that, like a child who wants the whole candy store, what is really best is not necessarily what someone wants, agrees with, or what feels good immediately. These two directions can also be described as toward the true self, ego with a capital E, and toward the fake self, ego with a small e. The fake self is a real thing. It includes the body, emotions, mind, intellect, and our sense of being a separate entity. It is an instrument, a vehicle we are in, not what we really are. Our true identity is a soul connected with our source. The goal is for one's soul, one's true self, to use and direct one's instrument. The fake self is called fake because it masquerades as our true identity, presenting its needs and desires to our awareness. The fake ego self is impermanent and knows it. In its doomed effort to become permanent, it uses everything possible for its own growth and aggrandizement, for its own benefit, security, and longevity. It even uses truth, fairness, and happiness for its own ends, skewing, twisting, or obscuring them as needed to serve itself. Presently, most people identify more strongly with their fake selves than with their real selves. Elevating the fake self to an undeserved position causes people to act out of fear, selfishness, greed, separation, and untruth. Thus, confusion and deception abound, and our world has lost its way. Restoring our individual and collective sanity depends on restoring the fake ego self to its proper subservient place, and restoring goodness, truth, source, God, the one thing, to its proper primary place. We need to reorient according to the two directions on the spiritual compass. Many people want other people and the world to reorient first. They point to all the systems to which we are subject that reward selfishness and greed, and they only want to change when the external systems change. This renders them dependent and impotent, unwilling to contribute to our collective improvement. It is individuals who make up our world, and it is when individuals orient toward goodness and stand strong that systems change. We must be careful not to equate the two directions on the spiritual compass with specific physical actions. There is no outer action that always moves toward goodness or always moves away from it. Usually, it is good to refrain from killing. However, on some rare occasions, like if someone or something is about to kill us and our children if we don't disable it first, killing can be a good action. Such circumstances are indeed rare, but even the possibility illustrates the importance of not relying on outer rules. At the end of his life, the Tibetan Buddhist ascetic Milarepa was asked for his advice. He replied, "If you find a certain practice increases your evil passions and tends to selfishness, abandon it, though it may appear virtuous. And if any line of action tend to counteract the five evil passions and to benefit sentient beings, know that to be true and holy dharma, and continue it, even though it should appear to be sinful to those bound to worldly conventionalities." What wonderful common sense, this rejection of rules and reliance on our two primary directions. We've been taught to conform to and rely on outer rules and codes of behavior, yet we have all experienced that these are often faulty. Regulations cannot possibly identify all situations that can arise in the future. People are different. Circumstances are different. People change. Conditions change. Customs change. Cultures change. Technologies change. Guidelines can be useful, but codes are inherently inadequate. Box checkers, computers, and artificial so-called intelligence can never substitute for human wisdom or for human justice. It's important to realize that a benevolent intent, which is often conscious, is not sufficient to discern whether an action goes in one of the two directions. We humans have much motivation that is subconscious. Looking honestly and deeply is imperative. It is also important to realize that the two directions on the spiritual compass have nothing to do with beliefs, opinions, religion, faith, or dogma. Believing something does not make it true. Opinions, however expert or universal they might be, are not necessarily correct. Perspectives are different, but there is only one spiritual compass. How can we sense the two directions of the spiritual compass clearly? The easiest way to begin is to recognize what is not toward goodness, not it. The calls and cries of what is not it are much louder than the soft whispers of what is it. What is it does not attempt to dominate.